the spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, and after hearing the lesson from John 3, we might think it could be called Confusing Scripture Lesson Sunday. There's a lot here that has caused people difficulties over the year, that has caused dissension within the ranks of the church, and which has caused people to be beastly to one another. We're not going to talk about that stuff today. We need to be mindful of it, but it's not the rabbit hole we're going to go down. Instead, I want to help us reflect a little bit on Trinity Sunday. And of course, some of you may wonder, why do we have a Sunday dedicated specifically to the Trinity? You might think every Sunday should be Trinity Sunday. And you're right, because this is the core of what we preach and teach in the Christian church. We talk about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and difference that is made in all of our lives. Now, sorry, I'm still getting my footing right now. Now, the Trinity can be a source of difficulty for some of us too. There are those who object to the language that is used, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they suggest that we should use some other terms. And I can understand the hesitancy people might think about, but I also have to wonder if it's a desire to make the gospel about something else, to put politics or ideology into the place of the message of Scripture. We're supposed to be very concerned about pronouns and the words we use to describe one another. And frankly, I think God should be able to choose the terms that God wants to use to describe himself. Now, I will say this. We only know what God wants to be referred to as because of Scripture. And Scripture was written by people. So it may be that their agendas came in and dictated their choices. But we should also look at those terms and try to think about what is behind them. What motivates what's going on there. And focus on those things. And I referred to this in the children's moment. Talked about relationship. And if we think about God, as I said last week, it's kind of hard for us to imagine what the Holy Spirit looks like. And it's hard for us to get beyond images that we've seen in Western art of God the Father and of images of Jesus as a strapping young man that may come to us from Jesus Christ Superstar. But I'm going to ask you to try to do this, to set aside the preconceived notions you may have. Because the gift of the Trinity is a gift, and it is one with which we cannot live without. If you want to know what Christianity is about, I'll tell you things like, oh, it's walking the path of Jesus. And we'll say, that's good. What next? It's about being in relationship with your friends, your family, your community. It's about being in relationship with one another here. And that's not always easy. Sometimes we're annoyed with one another. Sometimes we're here, though we could not gather, sought to remain in contact with one another, in worship and in service and in love. Good job. We just need more people doing that. Now, this weekend, we're also going to have a centennial memorial tomorrow, and that is in Tulsa Grace Riots, which by now I'm sure everyone has heard about this. It wasn't something that was talked about when we were kids. And this is something that seemed eerily appropriate that this anniversary would fall on the weekend of Trinity Sunday. Because nobody here was in Tulsa 100 years ago. Nobody here was directly responsible. But it happened in our country. And we need to remember the past so we don't repeat it in the future. Now, I read a great article about this written by a man named David French, who is an evangelical. He was a Harvard Law graduate. He's a great writer. And one of the things he said here that really resonated with me was that if you grew up in church, you're likely to have heard this story. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, king of Judah, the king ordered the temple repaired. During the repairs, the high priest found the book of the law. The king's secretary then read the book to the king. Josiah's response is profound. "Go inquire of the Lord for me," he says, "and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, do according to all that is written concerning us." Josiah perceived God's present wrath for the kingdom's past sin that had a present consequence. There was no sense of defiance. There was no deflection of blame. Instead, as the chapter later describes, he tore his clothes and wept before God. But he did more than weep. He changed. The king made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. Josiah is not alone. Daniel confessed the sins of Israel's fathers. In the book of Nehemiah, the Israelites confessed the sins and iniquities of their fathers. In the book of Leviticus, God commands the Israelites to confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers. In short, we cannot and must not ignore our ancestors' sins. Now, what happened in Tulsa was awful. And one of the worst incidents in American history. But I'll remind you that Tulsa is in Oklahoma, which, before it was known as Oklahoma, was known as Indian Territory. And that was land that had been set aside for Native Americans after they'd been expelled from places like Georgia. It's another group that we need to be mindful of. If we think about the Trinity, think about being in relationship with one another, we are not having godly relations with one another if we are burning down our neighbor's homes. It's that simple. We would be far, far better if everybody who professed to be a Christian actually lived like a Christian. And it's not just people in that other part of the theological vineyard who knew wrong. We can too. Our faith teaches us that we are all fallen. Not everybody out there, but we're okay. We all sin. And we have seen that humanity is capable of great evil. But we also know that we are capable of great good. And it's because of people in this church that my faith in humanity remains strong. I've seen the way that members of our congregation have rallied around Larry Doyle. Being a Christian is not something we do because it's convenient. And sometimes it requires us to take a stand, to stand out from the crowd, to be like Nicodemus, who was willing to risk his reputation and his position in the community to go learn more about Jesus. The fact that the Christian community emerged in the very first place is really rather remarkable. The idea that people who had known God a certain way would hear new teachings and would then go follow those new teachings was remarkable. But it happened. And it happened because the example of Jesus spoke to people. You and I are now the example of Jesus. You and I are Jesus' billboard. Think about that. That's a lot of confidence that the Lord has placed in each of us. I know how to let them down. I know you don't want to let them down. And my hope is that we will continue to be inspired by the example of the Trinity and will be mindful of other people in the way we communicate our beliefs, but that we will do so faithfully and ardently. Join me in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of the Trinity. And we thank you for the gift of Scripture. We thank you most of all for the gift of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.